let's introduce our penultimate speaker. Now, our penultimate speaker should be no stranger to most people in this room. He has been a tireless content creator, somebody who has taken part in well over 100 podcasts, which were very much loved. He has been an important and powerful voice for our community. Now, you can obviously see him standing to the left of me, so you already know who I'm talking about. There's no surprise. And some of you will know that occasionally when I introduce him on my show, or when I appear on his, I am slightly, or do adopt a slight mocking tone. But that is because I have a real brotherly love for this man. I see him almost like a little brother. And I've got to say, on a personal level, over the past 12 months, he's one of the people in the organization that I am most proud of. His personal development, the way he has moved forward with his life, the way he has embraced the community, the way he has taken his activism from simply being online content creation to real world activity. All of those things are not only admirable, but they are also an embodiment of what Patriotic Alternative is all about. He has embraced all of the things that we push and promote and bettered himself. And as he's bettered himself, he has improved this organization and brought so much to this community. Please welcome Euro from Taysob.
Well, thank you, Mark, very much for that introduction and for inviting me here to speak today. Certainly, I have very much to be thankful to Mark for. It was amongst his supporters that I found others who shared my values, my co-hosts with whom I created our own show, lifelong friends, and even a lovely lady who is here with me today. I consider Mark a true friend, and I'm always impressed by his optimism. I believe we have reason to be optimistic, despite the troubles that lie ahead. For the time being, we are a stateless people, no better than a diaspora within countries that used to be ours. Worse off, even. We don't have countries anymore. We have anti-countries, who perversely abuse the populations who birthed them. Just one of many communities, but uniquely dispossessed. Whereas these other communities are supported by the state and against the people, ours is for the people and by necessity against the state. Unlike the other diasporas who live within our land, we receive no special privileges or legal protections. In fact, we are the victims in the unrelenting waves of violence and criminality committed by racial strangers who are safe from prosecution. And we are not organised as these others are. To even suggest that we should organise with our kin is met with open hostility and accusations of genocidal intent. But organise we must, to avert disaster. Our erasure and eventual extinction, or perpetual slavery, at the hands of peoples taught to hate us. But all is not lost. I dare not say that our victory is inevitable, lest I spur you to complacency and inaction. But I dare say it is possible. If we allow ourselves to be convinced that our struggle is hopeless, it will be over before it ever begins. The enemies of our people seek to create the illusion that our victory is impossible, such that we will never try, to create a self-fulfilling prophecy of impotence. But thanks to the people in this room and others like us elsewhere, it becomes more likely every day. It is the natural inclination of our people, of any people, to survive. The anti-whites are pushing against the forces of nature themselves, and it requires a constant effort on their part to maintain and reinforce, to prevent a natural correction that would occur in their absence. They would like us to believe that our demise is predestined instead of an unnatural imposition which must be constantly reinforced. And as much as they try to convince us that we are a tiny minority, we know that our beliefs, ideals, and understanding of societal ills are much more widespread than they will ever admit. What holds our people back is a paralyzing fear, a belief in our enemy's omnipotence, and a murky view of the path to victory. This learned helplessness can be overcome. Who among us doesn't know somebody who believes everything that we do, but is too demoralized to get involved? Some, perhaps many, in this room may have been that person. And whilst it may often be mistaken for laziness, we can't blame everyone who falls into this trap that has been laid especially for us. Our enemies are keen to have us alone and isolated. By their propaganda, they seek to make us demoralized and despondent. Even in our country, they have created fake satanic groups to claim our struggle and scare away right-minded nationalists, as was exposed by the brilliant reporting of Joseph Jordan, whom some of you may know better as Eric Stryker. It's easy to understand why some are demoralized. The weight of these truths we know are hard to bear alone. The possibility of defeat is an existential crisis. Throughout history, men have faced their own demise, but very few have shouldered the burden of mortality for their whole nations. There will always be some who, overwhelmed by this, retreat from the hard tasks ahead of us and try to ignore the sword of Damocles above our heads. For others, no amount of effort can ever be enough when we foresee the cost and finality of failure. We must be careful to pace ourselves for the marathon ahead and place our energies where they are most useful, growing our community and forging a path for others to follow. The media control leaves many with a false impression of reality, to which even our own people are not immune. Many in the older generation are cowed. They know the same basic truths as us. They may even admit them from time to time, interspersed with such phrases as, "But you're not allowed to say that," or the ever popular, "Well, I'll be dead by then anyway." Not a rejection of the facts, but a response of helplessness from people who see no way forward. How many of these people would join our cause when we show them what's possible? The youth of today will grow up in a culture so repulsive that they will find it difficult to ignore, surrounded by gender nonconformists and openly discriminated against from an early age, already a minority in their schools. And they will flock to us in droves for the sake of their sanity. And those who turn against us will find themselves quite literally neutered by their own ideology. Let us not forget that these anti-white ideologues are mostly barren. Though it is often mentioned that we will not outbreed the racial strangers, we can be assured that amongst the young whites, our ideas will be in a vast majority. We will be fewer in number, but more united than ever before. And we need only look to the outsiders to see that small groups of united people can be a very powerful force indeed. The coalition arrayed against us will devolve ever more into fighting amongst themselves and for their own particular interests. None of these other groups have a claim to this land as we do. None are so dispossessed as us that they have nowhere else to go. And we will fight harder because we fight for survival. The resistance to the globalist COVID agenda can inspire us too. Regardless the way the public have been taught to frame the issue as a struggle against fascism, it is with people power that we have managed to avoid the fate to which other European countries have succumbed. Forced injections, permanent isolation, and never-ending lockdowns, which would have made our activism impossible. For every brainwashed soul who will never wake up to the programming, there are others who will take this as the first step on their journey. We live in a society devoid of purpose, plagued by nihilism and materialism, and lacking in spiritual health. The phenomenon we see of some whites converting to Islam has multiple causes, but not least amongst them is a search for meaning and transcendence in an age where our own religions have been destroyed and degraded. People crave purpose, community, and moral legitimacy, things that have been denied to our people for too long. Our struggle provides a purpose for our people, and no purpose can be greater or more natural than to secure our existence in the face of terrible odds. And our struggle will create communities where we can bolster each other and facilitate relationships, new families, businesses, and so much more. And we provide moral legitimacy. Schools and television indoctrinate our people with self-hatred and guilt based on exaggerated and fabricated wrongs of our ancestors. They even deny that our ancestors had sole ownership of this land as an excuse to steal it from us now. We will correct these lies with our own media and the PA curriculum and foster a sense of pride in our people, our accomplishments, and our land. We will not apologise for who we are. Things will get worse before they get better. There is a huge amount of inertia to overcome. Our enemies are scared of the change that we represent. They will push harder and harder to spread their anti-white ideology into every facet of life. But ultimately, it is a move of desperation. Every sport, subculture, hobby, and isolated community will be affected and their people forced to pick a side. And when these people inevitably choose their own side, we will be there to provide them with information, encouragement, new friends, and refuge from those who wish us harm. Yes, we will welcome refugees. Our enemies are internationalists, rootless people who seek to engineer our demise. They leverage the power of nations against one another for their own pathological aims. They have never faced an opposition such as they do today. Our friends and allies abroad, people of European and European settled nations, are seeking to throw off the yoke of the same cruel oppressor. We will work with these other organisations for our own mutual benefit, for the future of our people. We shall create a solidaristic community of nationalists the world over, the new internationalists. Each country, each people will support each other so that our burgeoning resistance is not destroyed by international pressure. Our true enemies are few in number, though they have many useful idiots. What gives them control are the crucial points where they exert disproportionate influence. But for every anti-white, there are hundreds of us, and their power is finite. By our community, we shall create strength and resilience to battle every head of this foul hydra. The ongoing conflict in Ukraine shows us that the current world order is dying and a new world order is being formed. Not the new world order of various conspiracy theories, but one that is actually more decentralized, where power is spread amongst a greater number of nations. The opposite of the aims of the tyrants who have ruled over us for more than half a century. The former hegemonic forces are no longer able to impose their will upon the world, and their waning power abroad is a manifestation of the same weakness afflicting them here. Our armies have been deliberately dismantled because they are inherent bastions of patriotism and nationalist feeling, a threat to the traitorous and anti-national leaders of our countries. In their diminished form, they can no longer be used as a bludgeon against other nations. I hope and expect that other hostile institutions will wither in the same way. The organisations who implement anti-white policies who will become more incompetent and less able to abuse us as their anti-meritocratic policies take effect. Organisations like Patriotic Alternative and our friends abroad will become a beacon of hope for the dispossessed masses. By our actions, we will show what is possible and encourage others to do more. We will grow and battle the degradation of this once great nation. We understand that a nation is stronger when a people of common ancestry are united in blood and purpose. Let us grow this family, our kindred community, until we take back control of our own institutions and our own destiny. Just as outsiders have created parallel societies, parallel economies, to subvert us, we shall create a new society to assert our rights. A seed within the womb of our nation to grow not as a parasite, but a new life, a civilizational rebirth. We shall give a voice to tens of millions who have no one to speak for them. The powers that be will have a choice, to listen to our rightful demands or to lose all legitimacy. Our efforts today will determine the conditions of our victory, whether we merely survive or become once again the great nations of history. And let us remember, if our enemies' victory was certain, their propaganda and suppression would be unnecessary. They fear us not because we are... They fear us not because we are criminals, as they say, but because they are. And when we come to power, we shall expose their misdeeds for all to see. Thank you.
Yeah, I was proud of that.
That was a superb speech, especially considering it was his first public speech, and he's also the first person today to stay within the allotted time that he took. So, yes, he does deserve a round of applause for that.